And I don't remember any propaganda or anything. Just everybody was just working hard. Glad to have a job.
Was there a newspaper, a company newspaper?
Gee, I don't remember any. It might have been later on, but not during the war years that I remember. Just don't remember any.
I'd like to go back to the union a minute again and ask if you joined the union when it came in.
Oh, yes, I joined right away and was always a member. And I think in those days you didn't have to join, but I joined because I saw the improvements that they gave us right away. And I think there toward the end of the war, I think we kind of started getting more time off too, if I remember rightly. Or maybe on Sunday you get off, you know, instead of having that, everybody having a different day. Mm. Well, I worked there 10 years, so it's kind of hard to, it's all meshed in together, separate what happened.
Were you active at all with the union?
No, I didn't even go to the meetings or anything, just paid my dues and joined.
Who were the people that were active?
I don't remember. Well, it's, you know, it's, when you're young like that, you just don't involve. But maybe if I was older, I would involve myself more in things. But I was just a kid, so I don't remember too much about the union. Just I knew that I was happy it was in, and you know, I joined it. And we got a raise right away. You know, it was mostly right after the war that we got most of our fair benefits. I was lucky I got to stay on after. I quit on my own accord.
Was there much teasing or harassing of the women by the men workers?
No, not that I know. I think the women kind of outnumbered the men. The men that were there were older, and I don't think so. As you can see by the picture, there was a lot more women. Mm-hmm. You know,
I was wondering if there was, if the men made passes at you.
Oh, you mean about passes like that? Oh yeah. In fact, a lot of the girls were dating some of the guys there. And, yeah, you know, it's only natural. There was a lot of teasing, especially when I used to blush really, you know, especially they know that you're going to be really affected by it, they're going to really pick on you, you know. So, yeah, there was a lot of teasing, the men that were there.
Yeah.
They had a field day.
Do you remember any specific instances around it?
Well, I remember this. I don't know if it was already after the war or during the war. I remember it was lunchtime, and I used to work with this fellow. I had worked with him for years. Very nice. And since he and my lead men were about the only men in that area, they used to eat together. And I think he made a bet with him that he would not kiss me. I think it was Christmas or something like that, some holiday. So sure enough, I was sitting there. I had my mouth full of sandwich, I think, and he came over and kissed me. I was so shocked. I didn't have a chance to do anything, you know, about it, you know. And it just happened. That was it, you know. And he had to pay the bet. And that was it. I mean, it was no big deal. He just won his bet. But see, things like that went on. And it was a lot of fun in a way, like this fellow that I work with. He was about 10 years older than me, and he was married, had family and everything, and we worked together. At first, when I went to work with him together, he was real rough, you know, yell and cuss at me and everything like that. Well, he straightened me out where I really, you know, did the job right, and we didn't have to work too hard because the work always came out good. And, but he cussed a lot. He used big words. So I got after him, and I told him, I said, we're going to start this thing Monday morning. I said, for review. let out a cuss word, you're going to have to put a quarter in. I bought a can, you know. And I said, and then, I says, when we get through at the end of the month, I said, we're going to split it, you know. I'll get half and you get half. It was all his money. If I cuss, well, my money went in there. So that's what we did. And you know what cured him of it? He stopped cussing or anything. But it was funny how you were affected with, like, if you work with somebody, they were like your true friend. You were really, I remember one time, I think I was having trouble with a boyfriend or something like that. I don't know what it was. And I was real quiet for the whole day, 2 days. I was kind of depressed. And he finally says, I can't stand it anymore. He says, you better tell me, what are you mad at me or what? You know, he says, you're driving me bananas. He says, I'm starting to feel depressed myself. And so I told him, no, it's not you. I said, it's just something in my personal life. And so then I told him, and he kind of gave me brotherly advice and things. But, you know, there was nothing, we worked together 8 hours, but there was nothing, we were always like friends. There was nothing between us, and we could relax with each other, you know. And he was American, and, you know, and I remember he used to advise me about this. And to this day, I do something he told me. He says, Mary, why don't you subscribe to Sunset Magazine? He said, that magazine's got everything. Cause we used to talk about plants. And, you know, he's married, having a home and all that. He says, why don't you subscribe to Sunset? That has everything to do about California. You know, to this day, I still get it. So you see how your workers can affect you. You know, and I worked with him for about 2 or 3 years. You know, and after that, he went up. I heard he went up to be, you know, a foreman or something like that. Whereas women, we never had a chance.
I was going to ask you
that. No. There were some women that got to be lead women, but I mean, they had to be, you had to be really tough and rough to get to be that. And you were just a regular worker where you minded your own business and did your job, you never got ahead. You had to be almost kind of a very aggressive type. I mean, the ones that did make it were very aggressive. And very few that made it. But the men, being that there weren't so many, as long as they were good workers, they made it. They went up real fast.
Did any of the women ever question that? Or
no,
complain about
it? No. I guess we were just getting in the job market. We were just going to have to get a job. We never, might have thought. I know I thought about it. I thought that wasn't fair, you know. But mostly, I remember even one of the men that right after the war, he came and they put him to work with me. And I taught him the job and taught him how to do assembly work and everything. And I heard later on he went up. Mm-hmm. And I bet if I was there, I'd still be an assembler. And like my brother, there's an example, he started about the same time I did. And he's been working at Northrop all these years. And he ends up being a buyer. And he didn't even, I think he got his graduation, his diploma in the Navy. I mean, he didn't even go like to high school like I did. Mm-hmm. And a man has a better chance to get up there. I'm thinking, it's still like that, you know, I wouldn't doubt it.
Was there a different relationship between the workers and the women leads than between the workers and the men leads?
Well, I think, like, I know the one that I knew, the women were kind of leery of her, afraid of her, because she was so assertive, so rough. I mean, she was the type that would swear and just be like one of the men, you know, like them. So the women were kind of leery of her. She act like she wasn't one of, you know, one of us.
How did the men react to women?
Well, they just took them because those women were so assertive that they didn't dare, you know, they'd be told off, you know, in certain terms. So that's, I only remember one that made it up at the time. And she was qualified. I mean, she was, but I mean, she had to be rougher and harder than the men were to get it. And not only that, but she didn't have an easy position, you know what I mean, where the other lead men had easier position. Mm-hmm. She had a rough, her area was very rough. I mean, I don't think I could have stood working there where she was working. And so they didn't give her an easy portion of the plane to make.
Were there certain jobs a certain parts of the plant where women didn't work?
Well, I would say the machine shop. Maybe later on a few, one or two went in there, but I would say like the machine shop. And outside, looking on, you know.
What was outside?
Well, it was finishing up of the plane, I guess. You know, it was out, all kinds of weather. I managed to get outside after the war when they bought the planes back from overseas, you know, those army planes, and they were reconverting them back to passenger planes. But that was when you went in there and they just started stripping them out and cleaning them out. But during the war, you didn't get out there in the field and finish them up. I guess where they put the motors and all. And then they didn't let you go from one department to another. You know what I mean? You had a badge, and it had a certain number on it, and you stayed within your area. Mm-hmm. I think for security's sake, I don't know. But we were never, if you went down the aisles, you were all right. But say you went into the area, like say this is an aisle, and you went into the area like that, they would question you, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. You don't belong here. So you had to stay in your own area. And I think we did that for security reasons.
What was security like then?
Well, you had a badge, and I think it had your picture on it, and you had an ID card, too. You had to show that. You had your badge and your ID, and then you had to open up your lunch and purse and everything you had in with you. And same on leaving. And once you went in, you didn't go in and out of the plant. You know what I mean? You were in, and you didn't go in and out.
Were there matrons in the bathrooms?
I'm trying to remember. I think that we did have matrons. And that was for I think if you got sick or something, you know, kind of, because there were so many women. And I know after the war, when it was over, that I got pregnant. And I started getting morning sickness. I'd go to work and I'd get morning sickness. Well, I would go to the nurse and they wouldn't just say, well, go home. No. They would, they had a woman guard, I guess you call it, and she'd get in her car and she'd take you home. I mean, they just didn't say, well, go on home, you know, you're not. And I think they brought me home about 3 times. And then the nurse says, I think you better go see your doctor. I was so dumb, I didn't know I was pregnant. I thought how naive I was. I thought I had the flu. But that was nice. I thought that they had, you could go to, like if you had a problem, like if for rent, to find a place they'd help you with that. Babysitter problem, you know. They don't have that now. And even during the war they did. You know, it's kind of weird that so long ago they had all these things for the women.
Who do you go see about those things?
They had like a woman in personnel that you went and talked to. And, so I think that was nice. I mean, I never had any girls kind of problems, but I mean, for the girls that did, you know. Or any kind of personal problem you were having trouble with, they could at least go somebody and talk to. And, but I was just wondering, why don't they have that now? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. But I like that part where they didn't send you home. Just say, well, you go home, you know. You took you home. We brought you home.
Did you have friends that used the counseling?
I don't remember anybody using it, but I knew that they were there, you know. And, I all have very good memories of Douglas. So they were very, very nice with me. I always wanted to go back to work there. They say, people that I know that work there, they say it's not like that anymore. It's just very cold, very impersonal, you know. And at that time, they weren't like that at all, you know. They had stores where you could shop. Like, because I think they did it because you didn't have the time. Mm-hmm. So they had a company store. You went in there and they had clothes. They had, they had appliances, you know, little appliances. A lot of things, you know, they had in there. Shoes, working shoes. And you could charge it and they'd pay it, you know.
They would take it out of your payment?
Yeah, well, I think you paid into it. They had like a credit union, you went in and made your payment there. And it was nice. I mean, they had all kinds of things for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm just remembering all these things now that are coming back to me, you know. And it was nice because they had, you could go in there and buy sweaters. And you didn't have time to be going shopping and working 6 days a week. The only thing that I liked was that you worked your 8 hours and that was it, you know. And it wasn't like you had to work 10 hours a day because it was there was another shift coming in to right. do your job, you know.
When you finished with your 8 hours, did you leave the work for the next shift, or mm-hmm. did you have your own specific work?
No, you left. You just put away your tools, and sometimes you even left like motors and the rivet gun there. But say from drills and stuff that you had checked out, and you would put them away in your toolbox, and then they took over where you were. And I remember one time working on those planes that I tell you that we converted planes. I would put up a panel, I'd come back the next day, and it would be down. And we were just 1 week of that. I said, well, I put it up and they put it down. Their whole work was taking it out at night, you know. And I put it up during the day, and at night they take it out. What's going on? I know that was when we were reconverting and we didn't have no chance to get together, you know, and say, let's talk this over now. That was funny. But then I did a lot of, then I worked on small jobs, little, you know, sub-assembly work.
This was during the war?
Mm-hmm, that was during the war too. And then I had another girlfriend that I worked with. She's a black lady. The first time, I never had met too many black people before that. Because mostly in Hawthorne, it was all either that you were Mexican, Japanese, or there might have been some Filipinos and American people. But I had never been around black people. In our household, my dad, we were never prejudiced against anybody. You know, never said, well, blacks this or black that. So when I went to work and they put me to work with a black lady, I really loved her. I really liked her. I mean, I got to know her, and she was really like, she gave me a lot of advice all the time, you know, talked to me. And she had they have what they call a A and a B rating. The A would be responsible for the whole job, and the B was her helper, okay? So she was an A, and I was a B. And so she made sure that we got she kept the charts of, because we had a chart, how much work had to go out that week, how many of those we had to make. I think I remember we had to make 6 a day. And it was her that she was responsible that we got that kind of work out, checked it out and all that. And but I was in the right in there with her. But we got along real good. Really nice, no problems, no anything.
Were there very many black workers?
Yeah, there was, there was, like you can see in the picture there, there's quite a few.
Is this a picture of the whole plant, or?
No, that was one of the shifts, and that was a swing, the night shift, that was a swing shift. See, that's when they happened to build that last one there on that one.
Okay, and that's the whole plant, the swing shift of the whole plant?
No, that's the whole shift of that department.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were big departments. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had, so as you can see, it's a mixture. Yeah. Quite a few blacks there.
What were the attitudes of the other workers to the black workers and to the Mexican workers? I guess of the white workers.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I never had I never felt bad about any of it, you know, that they were mistreating us or anything. I was never aware of it, you know. And, everybody was real nice to me. And I think in those days you took each other as, like, person to person. You didn't go around judging anybody. And although I knew that in Inglewood, the blacks had to leave at a certain time. They had to, what they call a certain sunset curfew. You couldn't be there after the sunset.
You couldn't be in the town?
Of Inglewood, for the blacks.
I haven't heard of that.
Uh-huh, yeah, they had that.
So what did that do? Well, the plant wasn't in Inglewood.
No.
Yeah.
But that was kind of weird, huh? You could be in the town, but after the sunset you had a... That was in the early part. I think after that they kind of let go, you know, overlooked it. But No, I never had any problems at work about that. We even had some Indian girls working. They were up north, from Northern California. Mm-hmm. And they came up from up there by themselves, young girls, and sisters and cousins, I think they were all related. And they were a little on the wild side. I guess they liked to drink. And when they, you know, when they drank, you know how Indians are. And they were nice-looking girls, you know, very nice-looking girls. And but they were there. I mean, as far as being on the job, they were on the job all the time. So we had different nationalities, you know. Everybody was drawn to the job.
When you ate lunch, would you just eat lunch with your immediate friends, or did you eat lunch with the black women, for instance, and the Indian women?
No. Oh yeah, we all would, like you'd run to sit and get a table and sit down. Well then, most of all my, like those girlfriends, they would all kind of sit together. It seemed like we all kind of grouped together. Mm-hmm. Maybe a few American boys would come sit with us, you know. And that's about it. But in those days, my dad was very much against me even dating an American boy. I don't know if I say I had a date with a boy, then he came pick me up. He wouldn't be rude to him or anything, you know, I'd go out. But when I came home, he'd be walking the floor. And I'd say, well, what's the matter? And he'd say, you're dating an American boy. I'd say, well, Dad, it doesn't mean I'm going to marry him. I'm just dating him, you know. When you date a fellow, it doesn't mean you're going to marry him, you know. So then he'd feel better. But he let me know in some way that he wanted me to marry a Mexican fellow. And I don't know why. I ended up marrying a Mexican fellow, but I don't know. I don't know why he, you know, he thought that way. I guess he figured that he wouldn't have anything in common with him. You know, he'd have more in common with a Mexican fellow. He could, in other words, talk to him more. But, or maybe he just had it against all boys.
Were there women in the plant that you knew who were thought to be lesbians?
Yes, but I didn't know it. I mean, now looking back, I know. You know, we had, I remember, I used to ride with this girl. And she was very nice, very nice. And nice looking and everything. But now that I look back on how she dressed, now I know that she was a lesbian. And I remember when I told her, I said, I'm not going to ride with you no more. I said, I'm going to get married. And I said, and I'm moving to a different part of town, so I'll have to get myself a different ride. And she said, why do you want to get married? Oh, she was very disgusted with me, you know? And I said, well, we've been going around together 3 years. I think it's about time we got married, you know? And she was very put out with me, but she never did approach me anyway, in any which way. I mean, I used to ride with her and that was it. And then I remember these other, I don't know what there was, all of them were, but one woman I know she's the one that we used to go horseback riding with, that she would say, let's all go horseback riding. And she would come by and pick me up at night sometimes, you know. But there'd be a bunch of women in the car. And she wore a hat. Now I look back, she wore a hat, like a man's hat, and she, you know, kind of swaggered around with her hands in her. Now looking back, I said, she was a lesbian. But I didn't know it at that time. And I think they knew that I was innocent, that I didn't, know about lesbians in those days. I mean, in those days, you didn't talk about her, or you never, you know. But now looking back, I know that's where they were. And I think the reason they were friendly with me was because I was innocent and I treated them just like everybody else. I didn't, to this day, I still treat them like anybody else. As long as they're nice, that's all you care about, you know. It's their thing, what they want to do. So, I know they were, now looking back, I can say that they must have been lesbians.
I was wondering if the men ever used that as a harassment.
Oh, there? No.
To call me,
no.
For instance, mm-hmm. The women that would
nobody
go out
ever,
with men, right?
Nobody ever told me, don't go out with her because she's a lesbian. I mean, no. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way I know now is because I look back at it, knowing what I know now, you know, looking back. And I was very puzzled with that girl because she didn't want me to get married, you know. She said, oh, you're so foolish, Mary. But everywhere you go nowadays, they have, you know, lesbians, wherever you go. But in those days, I never knew about it. I tell you, I was really innocent. Really, really innocent. I've never been around them. I don't think there were that many either that I know of. But now that I remember about that one and the other one, she was older. The one that wore the hat, she was, I'd say she was in her 40s. Mm-hmm. You know. And she invited us to her. She lived with her sister and his her family. And I remember her inviting us over for dinner, and I met her. See how I tell you, you meet a lot of different people? And I remember going to their house, you know, for dinner and everything. And I just never knew nothing. I just blissfully. And I think that's why they liked me, because I didn't make no big deal about her, didn't know about her, you know. Just treated them like just like they were treating me.
Were there very many women from other parts of the country that you met?
Let's see. Yes, like Iowa, like I tell you, that girlfriend that I met. And, oh yeah, they were all coming from all over, you know, Oklahoma and all over. Yeah, they all come to work at that, and like all the blacks, there's a lot of them, different parts, Texas and different parts.
Were there any problems among the workers? Like, you know, problems between people from different parts of the country, or from the, like the southern workers with the black workers, or...
Yeah, Texas workers.
That kind of thing?
No, not that I remember, not that, everybody got along pretty good. That I remember, I never had a, like that black girl that I work with, she was really nice to me, really. Her job had been, she had been a cook in the South before that, and I remember I went to her when I got married, because I had my own bank account. I think I had $1,500, which was a lot of money in those days, and I never told my husband or my boyfriend that I had money, you know, and he never asked me, you know. So then I told her, I says, you know, I was married 6 months, and I told her, you know, I have some money in the bank, and I don't know whether to tell my husband. I was always leery that if we broke up, we got divorced, I'd have my money, I had something to fall back on, mm-hmm. You know. I was very insecure, I guess because my mother dying and, you know, going through welfare and all, so I was very insecure. So I always wanted that to fall back on. So I told her, do you think I'll be married 6 months? And he looks very nice, and he's treating me very nice, and, you know, I think it's going to work. I said, do you think I should tell him? No. And that we should put our money together. And she said, well, Mary, you've been going around with him for 3 years, and she says, now you're married to him 6 months, and what I've been working with you, what you've told me about him, and I get the feeling that he's all right. He says, sure, tell him, you know. You go ahead and tell him. But you have money, and you're going to put it together, and, you know. He says, it's not right that you should withhold that, you know. So I did, you know. My husband was very surprised. And he had about $1,500, but he had told me that he had it. So together we had $3,000. And that was a lot of money in those days. Oh, my goodness. A lot of money. And but I used to go to her, see. I used to go to her, and she was like a mother. She advised me, and usually her advice was good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She used to tell me her trouble with her husband, you know. And I could just listen, because I was young, I didn't know what to tell her, what to do. Mm-hmm. But that shows you make a lot of good relationships with people at work. And that's what I miss, you know, like now that I'm not working. I miss making friends. Mm-hmm. Because I think nowadays that's where you do make your friends, is at work. You pick a lot of different people, and you can go to the people you like. So I still remember that lady. I think she stayed on and on until she retired. I had to quit because I got pregnant, so I took a leave of absence. They give you a year's leave, and then when the year was up, I just terminated because I didn't want to leave my daughter. You know. And so that was that. I went back, though, afterwards, when she was about 4 years old, and I went to work there. I think I worked 2 or 3 years again.
Were you able to spend much time with your cousin? You've been real close with her.
Oh, yeah, they're the ones that came and sat on my bed and talked to me, because they were saying that they didn't get to see me anymore because, you know, and they would come over and visit, and they'd sit on the bed and talk to me. But like I tell you, I got so involved with so many other different friends that that I wasn't going as much to them anymore. And although they lived next door, I could go, you know, and talk with them. And like my cousin, her husband was overseas in the army, and she had a baby.